because you remember those, like, the gummies that completely fucked me when we were in Tokyo?
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did you end up sneaking them out, or what did you do? did you fly them back to the US?
Yeah, I actually did. It was kind of sketchy, but...
Okay. I did. Nice. Amazing.
That's a bold move.
Yeah.
I didn't want to throw them out, so I just took them.
Yeah, right. Waste not, what not. Because US Customs as well, they don't fuck around. I'm guessing.
The only logical thing to do in this situation is to put this deep in your asshole.
Yeah, I was pretty scared in Atlanta, but it worked out.
Nice. I'm glad you made it safe.
I have a friend who, long before, like, you know, all the legalization and stuff, used to have one of those vape pens, like when they were like a really new, like, you know, that you could smoke weed that way, and he used to carry it on flights all over the place. So I always thought it was crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, we never got in trouble for it. He's like a real button-down looking dude. I think they just never knew what it was or were concerned about.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But you wouldn't vape. Would you vape on the plane? I guess you go to the bathroom. And
No, you just do it to, like, take as presents to people and stuff.
Oh, righto. Like, my mate, when we were in Amsterdam, he stocked up on some stuff before stuff was legal. Well, this was to the UK, actually. And he bought a bunch of, like, smoky Lapsang Chinese tea. So he, like, buried it in that and mailed it home. And I thought that was pretty bold too, I guess. But he got away with it.
What type of tea is that? Is it like weed tea or something?
No. Well, the tea was all above board. It's like this black tea that's really smoke. It's just like really strong smoke smell. So I think he figured that would mask, like, the scent of the weed that was hidden inside.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's smart.
Which did work. He got it back in the UK. But yeah, I was like, mate, why fuck with it? But anyway, he was happy.
That's a good job, said Smokey the Bear.
There is his preferred dessert.
Honey.
There is his wonderful.
Uh-huh, honey.
This is a story that starts off like many others, in a dark forest with some bears looking for food. But today, our adventure takes a twist. Instead of honey hunting, our bears, we are embarking on the Goldilocks with a hen full of bears, going through the realm of blockchain. This porridge might just be right as we step into the world of Goldilocks in the blockchain porridge. Something that's not too hot, not too cold, but just right. Join with us, we have a couple of bears from the dark forest. Welcome.
Welcome, guys. That was great, F-Dub.
That was so awesome. Good.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so today with us, we have Gabe and we have Amp. How are you, lads?
Hey, guys.
Great, man.
Nice. And we got Nap chilling at the back, too. How are you, Nap?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
And how are you, F-Dub? I should check in. I didn't check in last episode. It felt rude.
No, not at all, Ted. How could you? No, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good. Nice. Just vibing and chilling.
Yeah.
Ready to talk some porridge.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yes, sir.
And wanted to start with kind of prefacing that, like, we have spoken to Gabe briefly in Tokyo, but that was a very kind of sloppy, alcohol-fueled kind of episode.
Thank you.
And we feel like Gabe and Amp, they deserve a proper conversation with THC, something a bit more buttoned up. I haven't had any substances yet today, so I should be on the level and ready to chat.
I have a question. So, fellas, tell me, what's Goldilocks all about?
You know, we're doing a bunch of different stuff. We have kind of like three separate things right now, but kind of more generally, it's trying to be quite kind of like a large scale project where we're not focusing on any one product as being the whole thing. We're trying to think, I don't know, if you think about like Redacted or something, like these projects just go and just kind of have a bunch of different cool ideas and follow them and build a bunch of different products. That kind of long run is we're trying to be for Bearchain, like specifically building stuff that like uses what's unique and cool and interesting about Bearchain and builds products specifically for that. So that's kind of like, you know, like long run what we are. We're not any particular product, but we're trying to do a bunch of different stuff. But yeah, we can definitely start to talk about the individual things. So it's like locks is like, so I mean, one thing to say first is like, the whole project is going to be a DAO. Everything's going to be completely decentralized. And so LOX is supposed to be the governance token of the whole project. And like the first thing that we built was a kind of a custom built AMM specifically for trading LOX. There's lots of stuff that we think is kind of cool and new about it, but it's kind of inspired by some ideas which have been around in one way or another in crypto for a while. The first one is that like the token has a floor price. So the way the AMM works is there's like two liquidity pools for the token instead of just one. So like a standard Uniswap type pool that's just the token and then the liquidity that's paired against whatever that is, whether it's ETH or a stablecoin or whatever. With our AMN, there's like two liquidity pools for the LOX token, and one of them represents what we call floor supporting liquidity, or FSL, and one of them represents price supporting liquidity, or PSL. And basically the idea is like there's kind of two prices for the token. So there's the floor price, which is the floor price is supported by the liquidity in that floor supporting liquidity pool, the FSL. And then there's also like there's a premium price, which is what the actual market price is, which is supported by both the floor supporting liquidity and the price supporting liquidity. And the idea is that at any time, a user can always borrow the floor price of the token. So if you're a LOX holder, you can always borrow the floor price of your tokens. And if you want to buy the token, you pay the market price. If you want to sell the token, you get the market price, but you can always borrow the floor price. And the way it works is like the market price is always higher than the floor price, because whenever somebody buys, they always have to pay the floor price into the floor supporting liquidity, plus some premium into the price supporting liquidity. And when they sell, they just take the floor price out of the floor supporting liquidity and some amount out of the price supporting liquidity. So the floor price can never go down. Floor price only ever goes up. And the way the AMM works is that like as the market price moves up, so as the market price gets higher and higher above the floor price, some of the liquidity in the price supporting liquidity pool is transferred over to the floor supporting liquidity pool, which means that then the floor price goes up. And that's happening continuously. So like as the market price is increasing, part of the liquidity is constantly flowing from the price supporting liquidity pool to the floor supporting liquidity pool, which means the floor price is going up, which means the holders can then borrow more against their tokens. And there's a couple of other mechanisms that we have for increasing the floor price over time, but like the big picture, what this allows you to do is that like people who want to be long-term invested in the project and want to long-term have governance power in LOX, they like our products and they care about bearer chain or whatever, they can like in a sense like unlock liquidity from their position by borrowing against their tokens, and that the amount that they can borrow is constantly going up. We don't have to worry about liquidating their loans or anything because that floor price can never decrease. So it's like permanent non-unliquidatable interest-free loan. And the amount they can borrow is always going up as long as the token's being traded and the market price is moving. And they can then like do that and unlock their liquidity without ever like having to leave the ecosystem or the project. So that's like the way that the basic idea behind LOX. And there, as I said, there've been like a bunch of different mechanics which are somewhat similar to this over time, but I don't think there's ever been like an AMM which has this kind of mechanic which has been like long-term stable and secure and has really like had all the pieces fit together quite right. And so we're trying to like learn from the ways that it's been done in the past and add in a bunch of new elements to have an AMM that like does this really effectively. Yes, that's LOX.
So what I gather from that is up only?
Who would have thought that the drug-fueled scribblings of a psychotic person could make so much money? The Mabera articles have made Mabera now the second best performing bearer project that hasn't even launched yet. But what does it all mean? What do you get for collecting them? Fucked if I know.
It does sound really interesting. And you were saying other tokens and projects in the past have done things similar. Like, what have you drawn inspiration from?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different projects which have had things like this in like the DeFi space. I probably won't name specific projects, but they, like, there's a bunch of projects who have tried to do things somewhat like this. And even now, like, there are projects who have things which are a bit like this. So if you look at, like, you know, any project that has like a bonding curve underneath it that's like has liquidity that holders can borrow against, that's quite common. The one thing that's like, a lot of those projects don't have is they don't have a mechanism where like the floor price and the market price are tied together so that as the market price moves up, it kind of drags the floor with it, but then the floor stays stable when the market price comes back down. Yeah, so that's kind of what, one of the things that's new that was hard that we tried to build.
Righto, yeah. I say you are developing a way to kind of create, I guess, a steady, healthy build-up in the floor price of the value of LOX is kind of what you're aiming to do.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like, you know, it's aiming for a slightly different kind of market behavior maybe than what's like often common with a lot of crypto projects, because it's when stuff is getting euphoric, in a sense, the AMM is like locking in like profits for holders, because it's constantly, as things are getting euphoric, it's constantly moving some of that liquidity to the floor price so that it's going up in a way which like makes it more of like a sustainable, stable kind of upward trajectory rather than the kind of typical parabola type type shape that you see.
Remember the day. days when I was a little Barrett helper growing up, having big dreams of becoming a mod and blowing up. They help for free, they're dear to me. Without them, there's no community. Caffeinated, I'm situated in front of the computer, ready to rock and roll, watching the situation unfold. Have a Barra night, sleep tight. By the time you wake, I'm gonna make things right. Yo, peace and love to every corner of the earth. These Barra helpers don't know how much they're worth.
You might have touched on it a little bit, but are you happy to explain like what some of the uses you can have with your locks? Like I believe you can stake it, you can redeem it. What can a locks holder be doing with the AMM and interacting with the protocol?
Yeah, so there's a few things. So you obviously can buy the token through the AMM, which is you pay the market price. It mints you how many tokens you pay the market price for. You can sell, which means you get the market price of your tokens, and then the AMM burns your tokens. You can borrow against it. Well, you, first of all, before borrowing, you can stake your tokens, which then means that you earn Porridge. So Porridge is a token which lets you buy locks at the floor price. So effectively, like, Porridge is like a call option to buy locks at the floor. So like the value of it is like the price of Porridge should in some sense like reflect the premium of the market price over the floor price. And like when you stake locks, you earn Porridge, and the Porridge emission rate is set by the DAO. And then once you've staked your locks and you're earning Porridge, you can then borrow against the floor price of the token. So yeah, you have some locks, you stake it, so you're earning Porridge, and then you can borrow against the floor price and keep borrowing as the floor price goes up and keep receiving Porridge. You can also redeem, which just means burn your locks for the floor price, but that's most of the time not going to make sense to do because it's almost always going to be better to borrow or to sell. But those are kind of like the main basic functions that make up the AMM.
So now that we know a little bit more about the staking and earning of Porridge, what would be the long-term benefits for users who want to maybe stake the locks?
Yeah, so a bunch of things. So like the first thing is like when you have staked locks, you know, you have governance power in the DAO. So you're going to have control over what the DAO is going to do. You're going to be earning Porridge, which is something which is long-term. The DAO is going to decide what the utility of that is within the ecosystem, but you're going to be earning Porridge over the long run. For example, allows you to then get more locks, which gives you a bigger stake in the DAO again. You're also going to be benefiting from, if the floor price goes up, you're going to be able to constantly increase your borrowing power against your locks tokens. That's how a really like a user who's aligned with the interests of the DAO over the long run might behave, is they'll be like, you know, they'll stake, they'll be earning Porridge, which they can use in the ecosystem. They'll be just borrowing against the floor price of their locks, and that'll be going up over time. And they can constantly just borrow more and more, and without ever having to like give away their governance power in the DAO. So that's kind of the idea of that's one way one might behave in the long run.
Hey guys, this is Napzilla here from Barraland, and I wanted to remind everyone to...
Shut up, Nap! No one cares! The good folks over at Barraland have just launched an amazing new website to help guide you through all that is building on Barra. It also has a link to their validator. Send them some of that sweet BGT.
To translate to our North American friends, Porridge is oatmeal, isn't it? I was I was surprised to hear you named it Porridge, because we call it that over here in Australia too. But hearing your accent app now, I see why it was named Porridge, which is nice to see.
Hey, we know what Porridge is, all right? We just don't use it.
Is that right?
Australia, man.
Do you guys eat honey with your porridge or your oats?
That'd be good. I think I've done that before, honey with oatmeal. That's good.
The Scots put salt in their oatmeal. Oh, in their porridge, I should say.
Wow.
I've been told, at least.
Oh, we got Tez saying oatmeal.
Yeah, oh my God.
Let's go.
We got him.
Burger.
We got him, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
You're listening to the Honeycast.
Well, I guess speaking of honey, you know, I was looking through the docs and I thought it was really interesting how you guys are utilizing the Bong Bear, the good JPEGs, in some capacity. I was wondering, speaking about, I guess, the Bong Bear is a bear chain. How'd you guys come across Bear Chain and what attracted to you that initially build your protocol on?
I think I might have first heard about it. I wasn't super early. I think maybe like somewhere between a year and 18 months ago. And I think it might have been like market capping episode.
I can't remember.
Other podcasts about Bear Chain are available. Like this one.
But I heard about somewhere, I just heard about the proof of liquidity idea, like when that was first kind of announced. I think I had maybe heard rumblings about Bear Chain in general before then, but that was kind of the thing that really piqued my interest and that I thought was a really cool and interesting, new, genuinely new idea that I hadn't seen before. integrating those kind of liquidity incentive structures like into actually the consensus layer of a chain. And so that was what got me really interested. And then once I started looking around, I kind of got also hooked on the culture, as it were. I don't know about you.
Yeah, similar story. I remember just hearing about Barrachain from being an OT in the Olympus Discord back in the day. Then I really started into it when Am brought the idea of launching Dolly Lots on Barrachain, and I was like, wait, this is like a really cool community. And I was like, this is something I want to be a part of. But yeah, super awesome.
I didn't know you were like there back in the OG, like the OT days, like NAP was and whatnot. I didn't know you go back that far.
Yeah, I was kind of just lurking in OT, but I used to love, I thought that was like the funniest group chat back in like the last bull run was was hanging out in OT.
Oh, no way. There's so many.
Yeah, it straight up was the funniest.
That shit was so funny.
I feel like everyone who was in that chat is just like, it's like you're there for that moment in history.
I was also lurking in that chat as well.
Were you there too? I wasn't. Like, I was in Olympus. I just never lurked in OT. I guess I was missing out. Clearly, because I came late.
It was just the most degenerate chat I've ever seen in my life.
You saw when you clicked OT and it had the not safe for work and you're like, oh no, not for me.
Yeah, I'm at work. What am I doing?
Who is that who'd always post the anime, always post the hentai? It started their username started K. It was after their name.
Callius?
Yes.
Was that him?
Was that him actually?
Is that real?
I think. Or it started with a K, but they would be posting hentai all the time on OT, and I thought it was so funny.
It was probably Sabio. Sabio is the hentai legend.
Oh, that's what it was. Not a camera. Yeah,
he's the resident of hentai aficionado, I think, at Barrachain.
He drives the culture. So, that's him.
Yes. Was he doing that back in OT as well? Back in Olympus OT?
That's
his thing, man.
Wow. Amazing.
Everyone's got their thing, man.
Everyone's got their thing. Sabio's got his thing.
You telling me a Barra built this chain?
So initially the idea, the innovative idea caught your guys' eyes, Amp, with the idea of Goldie. And then I guess from there, like, how did things continue to spin off in terms of wanting to incorporate some other aspects of the chain and things aligned with it?
I guess we had a lot of fun when we were first building the AMM. It was like a fun project when we were like first getting all of the basics down with that. And I just, we've got this funny like dynamic going where I'm always coming up with kind of too many weird ideas and then kind of writing pseudocode like Solidity like drafts of stuff and bringing them to Jeeve. And then Jeeve is like, I'm already working on like four contracts, man. And some of them stick and some of them don't. But yeah, so like I had this idea of an NFT lending platform specifically for the Barrachain NFTs, or for the Blanc Bear NFTs, I should say. And yeah, that was one of the ones that stuck because it was fun to design and fun to build.
Is that kind of your dynamic then? Like you come up with kind of the ideas, Amp, and then you throw it to Gabe and Gabe will be like, no, I can't do that. We're not doing that. That's ridiculous.
Usually no. You're usually not saying no. Like usually just like, yeah, let's run. Let's just do that. Let's just send it.
Nice. Yeah.
There's very much like Jeeb is the one who can actually make the stuff work.
Right.
I'm the one who can like do like a child's drawing of the idea that I had.
Right. It's like when you see rappers like showing the producer how to make a beat and they're like, you know, make the drums like and like Jeeb's like the guy in Ableton make it actually happen.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
So like, this is how I want the beat to start. What's your email?
Well, how'd you come up with the name Goldilocks actually, Amp? Like, are you into like fantasy stories? Is that just like you were out strolling one night? Or how did that go about?
I honestly can't remember.
You sent me a Word doc. It had like Goldilocks and it's like some other names like back in like September 2022, I think it was.
Yeah, I guess like it's kind of natural, right? It's like because we were Honey's going to be the liquidity token that locks his pet again. I think Jeeve came up with Porridge as the reward token. So that was, I can't remember what one came first out of Goldilocks. Maybe Goldilocks came first, but yeah. I wish I had a good story for you, but I can't remember.
I mean, I understand the line of thinking.
We need a name that's witty at first, but that seems less funny each time you hear it.
We met on Tinder. That's what happened.
Shut up.
You're listening to The Honeycast. The Honeycast, a podcast for bearers to fool them into believing this fake Ooga Booga chain is actually real. Back to the show.
With the yield splitting vaults, I was looking through the docs, curious to know a bit more about it, like what kind of assets you can put into Goldilocks to have the yield splitting opportunities. Like, how will that work? What's the breakdown there?
Yeah, so it's very much inspired by like Pendle, but you know, it's also custom or new contracts and stuff. And basically what it's doing is it's, so with proof of liquidity, you know, they can stake some of their assets, like whatever, for example, on Bend, you can supply Bitcoin and ETH and Honey in order to earn yield. And what the idea is, you know, you can, when you, I think my cat is here, like making a racket. When you do that, you can, like what the yield splitting vaults will allow you to do is you can, instead of just depositing your tokens like directly into Bend, you can deposit them into our vaults. And then what you'll get is you'll get like tokens, some ownership tokens, which represent your like your ownership of the underlying assets, and some yield tokens, which represent your ownership of like all of the yield that those assets will give you over the lifespan of the vault. And then what you can do is you can go and trade those yield tokens. So at the end of the vault, you'll be able to redeem your yield tokens for the yield that's been generated. But in the meantime, you can go and like trade those yield tokens. So like, for example, you know, maybe you need access to liquidity now, but you don't want to sell like your underlying assets. Maybe you've got Bitcoin or whatever that you want to hold on to, but you could do some liquidity now. So what you could do is you could like deposit your Bitcoin into our vaults. You'll get the ownership tokens, which you can redeem for your Bitcoin at the end of the vault, and you also get some yield tokens, which maybe you want to sell now to get liquidity. And whoever buys those will then get the yield over like the whole year or whatever it is that's left of the vault, because you've sold all of that future yield. You'll be able to unlock a bunch of the liquidity, and it also allows people to then speculate on the future value of the yield of the emissions that are going to be generated through the vault. And one thing that's kind of distinctive about how we're doing all of this is the yield splitting vaults are going to be built on top of like Infrared's vaults, which allow for liquid BGT, because when you do that, because Bearer Chain, all of the proof of liquidity rewards are BGT, which are non-transferable, non-fungible. So you couldn't just do the normal yield splitting vault kind of architecture without doing something funky to work with the BGT rewards. So we're going to do like the vaults will route everything through Infrared, so that the rewards are IBGT, which is Infrared's liquid wrapper for BGT. And that's kind of the main idea, and we're going to try and make this possible at launch. We're going to try and do this for a bunch of main assets on proof of liquidity. So like I already mentioned, applying ETH and Bitcoin and Honey to Bend, we're going to try and support staking Honey to Burps, the Bearer Chain native Burps platform. We're also going to try and support LPs on BEX from launch. Exactly which vaults are available is going to depend a bit on just what we've managed to get ready in time, but like long run, the idea is we're going to have vaults for all of the kind of biggest yield earning opportunities on the proof of liquidity side of things. And we're going to be hosting all of the liquidity for the ownership and yield tokens on Kodiak, who we're partnered with. And we're going to be trying to incentivize liquidity so it's easy to trade these positions all on there. It's helpful that they're a concentrated liquidity platform for Bearer Chain, because obviously it's going to be helpful to have concentrated liquidity, because for example, like the ownership tokens and the underlying assets, you're always going to want the liquidity to be in a certain range, because the ownership tokens are like backed by the underlying assets. Yeah, so that's kind of an overview of the idea.
You're listening to Goldilocks and the Three Idiots.
Because you have already now name dropped then like Infrared and Kodiak. I mean, there are a couple of your partners. I'm curious to know more, maybe if there's some other partnerships you guys have cooking up in the porridge there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're working closely with Kodiak and Infrared, and also Honeyjar and APDAO. We're going to be working with closely. We're going to have our agreement with them. Will be, I think, official and signed off in the next day or two. Veradrome, we've been working closely with and talking with from the beginning. We're working on stuff with a bunch of other projects. Baritone, Yeet, and also like anyone listening that's not working with us yet in one way or another, please talk to us. We're trying to work with all the cool Bearer Chain projects that we can.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, actually, that does remind me now. On Twitter, I saw there's kind of like some trifecta. Was it yourselves, Yeet, and Baradrome? I don't know if that's just like, I don't know if there's anything that's been explicitly detailed in that, but are you able to divulge a bit more about what that is?
No, they left us out. That's Kodiak, Yeet, and Baradrome.
Oh, is it?
That idiot, Tez.
All right, I'm cutting that out. Never mind.
Yeah, bad question.
We got Rod.
Sorry. Well, maybe, you know what, guys? You should add Goldilocks, you know? What the fuck?
That's funny.
Tez starting shit in here, man. Come on, man.
If you'd like to support the potty, please consider the THC NFT. Or maybe you're like, fuck the podcast, I hate that shit. But you still want some perks and exposure to the Bearer Eco? Then you should also consider the THC NFT. Link below.
And did you mention the boosting of the partner NFTs for Baradrome and Honeycomb?
Yeah, no, not yet. Yeah, so we haven't spoken about Goldieland yet. That's like our NFT lending platform for bongs and rebases, but like, or at least most of our partners, so the partners of us that we're working with who have NFT collections, we're like, part of our partnerships is that their NFTs are all going to have like special utilities on our NFT lending platform. Well, I'll explain more when we get to talk about Goldieland, but it will both make it cheaper to borrow on the platform and will give you boosted yield as a lender.
Gotcha. I mean, let's cover it now. Let's jump in.
Yeah, I guess Goldieland. I mean, tell us about it. And that's your NFT lending platform. How's that going to work with Bearchain's infrastructure? And I guess maybe impact not just the first NFTs, the Bomb Bear NFTs, but as well, these are the partner NFTs. I think you said the Bear Drum, the Bears on Bikes, the Honeycombs, if I'm not mistaken, and anyone else you're partnering with.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Like the starting like motivation of like Goldieland is that somehow like long term, we think that the bongs, bears and the rebases are going to capture a meaningful like chunk of the value of the ecosystem, that like they're going to long term stick around because they're such an important part of the culture. And we're trying to build infrastructure which is like catered to supporting the bongs and rebases as much as possible, trying to kind of integrate them into the DeFi landscape. By the way, here I should like tease, Goldieland is part of like a bigger project, and so we can't talk about all the details yet, but some stuff that we're doing with
Alpha Alert,
or working together with other ecosystem players to drive part of the value of the chain back towards the NFT collections. And I think that, yeah, a bunch of people speculate about exactly what role the NFTs are going to have in the ecosystem, and we don't know exactly ourselves, but like as ecosystem players, we can all work together to ensure that that happens to some extent as well. So we're trying to be a part of that. But what Goldieland does basically is that, yeah, it's a lending platform specifically for the bongs and the rebases. So those are the only NFTs that you can actually borrow against on the platform. And the platform is purely going to be, all loans and lending will be denominated in IBGT, so like Infrared's liquid wrapper for BGT. And so basically the way it works is, if you're a bong bear holder, you can take a fixed duration loan against your bong or rebase NFT, so you can borrow some IBGT against it if you need liquidity but don't want to sell your NFT. And you'll pay an interest rate, and the interest rate is like, the basic rate is set by the DAO, and then the rate will like scale with, you know, in kind of the usual way with like utilization rate and also the duration of the loan. And there's no price-based liquidations, so we're not relying on price oracles or anything, so we're not worried about like price manipulation and stuff. And you don't have to worry about getting liquidated on your loan by like market price movement, but the only way to get liquidated is if you don't repay your loan in time. And on the lending side, lenders will deposit BGT, or IBGC rather, into the pool. And they'll, all when they deposit, like the deposits are locked into the lending pool, and then they get GIBGT in return, which is like a wrapper representing ownership of a stake of the lending pool. And then all of the deposited assets are kept in the lending pool like forever, except for when they're borrowed out. And when those assets, like when the IBGT in the lending pool is passive, so it's not being borrowed by like NFT holders, then it's going to be staked through the Infrared vaults and earning yield, and that yield is all also compounding back into the pool, right? So the GIBGT is constantly like rebasing against the IBGT in the pool, so the value of GIBGT is constantly increasing, and holders will be able to claim like the bribes and trading fees associated with the staked IBGT underneath. And we're going to be doing a lot to incentivize liquidity for IBGT and GIBGT, and you can also stake then GIBGT, like the receipt token, on the platform, and we'll be having porridge emissions for the first 6 months of Goldieland when we're first trying to bootstrap liquidity. So you'll be both getting like the staking rewards from the IBGT and also porridge, staking porridge. And also then when like loans are happening, so the IBGT in the pool isn't passive, then you'll be getting the interest payments from the NFT holders, which will also compound back into the pool and increase the value of GIBGT against IBGT. And that's kind of the main idea. And then, yeah, the way that the partnerships with our partners works is that if you hold, for example, honeycombs, you can then lock those into the Goldieland platform. And when you do that, you both get increased porridge emissions if you're a lender and you're staking GIBGT on the platform, and then you get more porridge. And also if you are borrowing through the platform, then you'll be able to have a cheaper interest rate, and you can like stack the NFTs to get bigger emissions boosts and bigger discounts on borrowing. That's kind of the main idea of Goldieland, but there's quite a lot there, so I don't know if you've got questions.
My brain is swelling from all the possibilities.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah, man. I mean, does it count as insider trading if I just go buy everything right now? Because you just hyped me up, man.
Is that a question?
not a real question, SEC.
Not Zilla, you're under arrest.
Take him away, boys.
I deserve it.
You're listening to the Honeycast.
I mean, what is interesting to hear, which wasn't in the docs, is how much alignment you're having with Infrared, the IBGT, finding a lot of utility. You guys are working quite close with them, which is really exciting to see.
I think a big part of the strategy of the DAO and like the idea of the DAO is we want to work a lot with BGT and with trying to, you know, build our own governance power in the chain. And what like Infrared do is really important, I think, because they make it possible to keep BGT liquid. And that like makes a lot of stuff possible, like Goldiland and the yield splitting vaults. I think those only really turns out like work in the way that we had conceived of them when you integrate with those guys. So I think, yeah, what they're doing is really important for the chain.
You telling me a Bearer built this chain?
You touched on Honeycomb and the way that you could stake those. Is that a similar function for the Tour de France, the Bearers on Bikes? Is that going to work in a similar way?
Yeah, so it's going to be like the same functionality for all of our NFTs of partner projects. They're all going to have that same, like you can get boosted yield and discounted borrowing rates. Now, like the size of the boost and the size of the discount will depend on like the details of the specific partnership, but they're all going to have that to some degree. So it's going to be like hopefully like an arms race for for the, you know, trying to get the biggest boosts and the biggest discounts, hoovering up all of the ecosystem NFTs.
You're listening to Goldilocks and the Three Idiots.
I guess I only have one question left to ask, because you guys talk about how, you know, no liquidation other than time-based. How are you as the platform handling those risks, Gibe? I don't know how are you going about that, brother.
Yeah, so we were just having the loan to value ratio very conservative for the loans to kind of minimize that risk. There'll definitely still be that risk of bad debt for the protocol.
Just to like add to that, there's a couple of things. There's the valuations, like how much the loan to value ratio is always set by the DAO. So the DAO is constantly in control of that. And as Jeeves said, we're at least initially going to be very conservative with the loan to value ratios, but profitable because we're going to be, you know, like the passive liquidity is always earning as well as the actual liquidity which is being lent out. So it's not like we need to go and have all of the liquidity being used all the time in order for the protocol to be profitable. So those things are both going on. And I think that, yeah, long run, there's more stuff which we can't really talk about, which is part of our strategy. But as I said, like this is part of a bigger project for trying to like synergize the value of the chain and the value of the bears. And yeah, we'll be able to reveal more as time goes on. But those are the first things to say.
Booga booga.
Booga booga, sir. I love to hear the synergy and the interconnectedness for, the current state of Goldilocks and some of the other, I guess, key players in the game. So I'm excited to see what you guys cook up, honestly.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
You're listening to the Honeycast.
All right. So guys, considering where we are in terms of the Tastenet launch and ongoing improvement of the Bear Chain Testnet, do you have any thoughts to give on launching on Testnet or your plans around that?
Yeah, like right now, we're doing a few things. So like we got the contracts to a stage where they were, I think, Nap, you were in the alpha testing before. So we had like, you know, before the testnet came out, we had on other testnets, some like early versions of everything. Now we're at a stage where we're both doing like a UI overhaul, which both happy about, but also a little bit sad. Cause I love the Goldilocks in the leather jacket with
I'll have to keep it.
So it's either wear the leather jacket, which I know you hate, or this.
But yeah, so we're both having a UI overhaul and we're also now like working on the actual integrations with other projects and the proof of liquidity mechanisms. So yeah, it's just a matter of finishing that UI overhaul and getting those integrations done. And then we'll be ready to go on to Tastenet and get our audits done and everything.
Awesome. Exciting times ahead.
So we can expect to play around with Goldilocks on Testnet then? Fingers crossed?
Yeah.
We could just put the Goldie swap on Testnet without like the borrowing or kind of just to play around with Honey and Locks. That could be cool. We just have the old UI.
Yeah, that's true. We could. Maybe.
Is that alpha?
By the time the episode comes out, it's alive. That'd be base.
That could happen. That does happen.
Turns out that did happen. Goldilocks is live on Tastenet right now. Check it out.
I guess in that case, plans for mainnet, are you guys hoping to be up and ready day one?
For sure.
Yep, that's the plan. Yep.
I had two things I wanted to throw out there.
Get them off your chest.
Thanks. First, I wanted to say thank you to the Honeycast for having us on. It's been a blast. Great to catch up and great to chat. This has been a long time coming, so I'm glad we made a time to do it. And then second, I wanted to thank Ursa Dom. They've been such a huge help the past year and some change with everything from legal to audit to design to just help with dev and everything. So they've been a huge shout out to all those boys over there.
Oh, thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, man, I echo all of that.
Appreciate it, Gabe.
Yeah, yep. It's
a
shout out to Ursa.
Great to chat to you again. It's been too long since we caught up.
Yes.
Since we had a lovely day, like my last day in Tokyo when we were there, we had a lovely day walking around.
I know, that was a lot of fun. Everyone left early.
Yeah, we went to Yogi Park, we checked out the Shonen, Pokemon Center, Nintendo. Yeah,
I think about that. I appreciate that you took the time to show me all that shit, so thank you.
That was cool. It was a really nice day. How's your you were like learning Japanese so quickly, like.
Dude,
you been keeping it up?
I've been doing it on Duolingo the past couple of
weeks. Let's go.
I want to get to a point where I can like watch anime without the subtitles. I feel like that'll take a long time.
Oh yeah, depending on the anime. Start with like Ghibli movies and stuff, then that might.
True.
It's a good place to start, I reckon. Oh, sick, man. Nice.
Yes.
Next Honeycast in Japanese.
Oh, for sure. Next time we have you guys on.
Honeycast.
Yeah. Actually, before we wrap as well, I heard you guys might be looking to do a raise in the near future.
Yeah, that's true. We're raising.
You're raising.
Yep. We're raising imminently. Yep. Yep. That's right.
How can the Bears get involved, or how can we get our hands on the porridge?
To be confirmed.
Good answer.
But yeah. No, I don't think we're able to share details yet, but we are raising.
Yep. We'll be waiting.
Naps waiting.
Wait on it.
Hey, if you post enough stickers and shit posts in their Discord, maybe you get an early special or something.
Yeah, yeah, check out the Discord. Yeah.
I heard if you post a sticker, you are banned from any seed raises in the future.
No. It's so over.
I like that Nap just starts throwing out marketing ideas for you, just like unsolicited. Just get your stickers in there.
An angel VC, just only ideas and bad ones at that.
Big thanks to Amp and Gabe for coming on the show. Check out the AMM on Testnet, post a sticker in their Discord, and stay tuned to find out more about their upcoming raise. Special thanks to Nap and Dubsky for co-hosting. This podcast was an Ooga Booga production. See you on the next one!